The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses. Season 18, Episode 40. This is Writing Excuses, the business of the end of Schlock Mercenary.
15 minutes long.
Because you're in a hurry.
And we're not that smart.
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Dong Wan.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Howard. And joining us is my business partner, partner in crime, boss, the person who makes all of the business work, Sandra Taylor.
Yay,
hello.
Sandra.
Woo-hoo. Howard, welcome. We're not supposed to talk about the crime on tape.
Right. And if you've got it on tape, you shouldn't have recorded it.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway. Howard, I would love to start with a bigger question that before we dive into the business end of things. You spent many, many years on this project. It's 20 volumes. What did it feel like to conclude it? Like, what was that moment like for you?
There's layers here. And unfortunately, the biggest layer is that I wrapped it in July of 2020 when there was this global pandemic happening.
Oh, yeah.
And I was sick. I came down with, in late January, early February, I got sick, went to the emergency room, and they said, it's some virus. It's not influenza. It's not a pneumonia virus. It's not bacterial. Some virus we don't know, we can't identify. You haven't been to China, have you? Ha, ha, ha. And then I never really got better. And by June, July of 2020, I was tired all the time. And so wrapping this up kind of felt like, boy, it's a good thing that I chose to end it when I did, because I couldn't have kept going. And I know that's kind of a terrible, sad way to describe it, because I would love to have kept drawing forever. But one of the biggest feelings I had was relief. Mm-hmm. Yay, I finished it before dying.
I think even without getting sick, I think relief is a big part of finishing a big project like that. I don't think that's an unusual thing to feel at that stage. You know, I mean, this thing you've been thinking about every day for however many years, there has to be some aspect of that to be done with it.
Right. Well, and it's a weirdly staggered experience because we had an emotional reaction 3 years before the comic ended when Howard realized he needed to end it. And so we had an emotional process to do at that point. And then there was the pandemic. You know, we were going to end it. We planned to end it in 2020. And then we had a pandemic. And there was this moment of, should we yoink back from that decision? You know, very, very brief moment because there were so many reasons it was right. We'll get into. But, and then it's been ended for 3 years now. And yet we are still putting out books. So in one way, it is not yet done until we have all of the books in our hands. And then today, I confess to listening in through the door through the last episode so that I could get my head into the recording space. And I had this weird moment of, oh, wow, it's really over. Like today, this moment, I'm actually a little bit teary here, like thinking, oh my gosh, we did this thing and it's done. And so I actually think that's a useful realization with large, especially large, long extending projects. You rarely get that moment of we're done, yay, triumph, that happens in a recognizable way. It gets fractured.
It can be kind of diffuse, right? Publishing a book is like this too. You publish a book, then you go on tour, you do events or whatever it is, then the paperback comes out, then, you know, there's all these like little things, so it's hard to like have that one declarative moment where you feel like, oh, we did the thing and now we can rest, you know?
I can contrast it very starkly against quitting the day job at Novell on Talk Like a Pirate Day in 2004.
I hope you handed in your resignation in pirate speech.
It did not actually occur to me to do that, but because I didn't want to jeopardize severance. I left, and the very first day home was just relief. Oh, I'm done with that. Mm-hmm. And then I had friends telling me, while the information you have in your head is still fresh, you could do some contracting work for us. You could do some advising. And I remember thinking, no, I need this to be dead. I need this to be done. I need this. When an author finishes a book and the publisher says, now you need to do some contracting for us where you go out and do signings and go do this. As an author, maybe you want to say no, but there's also, yay, I love this thing. I made it. Now let me help you sell it. When I was done with Novell, I was done. And with the end of Schlock Mercenary, it was not that. It was not that at all. It was still huge.
Well, in some ways, it never will be. You know, this whole series will continue to exist. People will continue to discover it. And so it is more like having a child that leaves the house and you still get notes and they come back and do their laundry every once in a while, than it is like leaving a job. Because it continues to exist and we can continue to interact with both the stories as they exist and with the people who love the stories.
Mm-hmm. I need Schlock to get a scholarship and go to college on his own dang money and not to need to come home and do laundry and then to immediately start funding my retirement.
I like this plan.
That's a better metaphor.
Okay, cool. We'll roll with that one.
Yeah. I mean, Schlock can't really come home to do laundry because he wears no clothes.
This is true. This is true.
To run with that metaphor, though.
No, that's good.
How is Schlock funding your retirement? Let's talk about we're talking a little bit about the business of the end, but I feel like probably want to start with the business of the beginning. You know, in order for us to get where we are now, you started somewhere. So how do you get from I'm going to do this creative thing to I'm going to build a business out of this?
Well, from my perspective, the beginning of Schlock Mercenary was Howard Taylor coming to me and saying, I think I'm going to take up doodling as a hobby. And I said, you do that. That sounds lovely. He was in a space where we'd had some health issues, and he was no longer traveling. He was still working at Novell, and he had some extra time out, and our record production business had finally fully failed. And so he had time. And I was like, you need hobbies. Hobbies are good. Within a month. Yeah, I know. He later in life had to make a rule that he had to stop making jobs out of his hobbies.
Yeah.
So that was the very beginning. It was probably 2 years into the project before I always supported him, but it was 2 years in where I was like, oh yeah, you are an artist. Okay. You know, where I could see that the skills, had built. And so that was the abrupt beginning. It's the Howard picks up with an idea and runs with it, and I get trailed after and keep up and start building logistical track and structure around the thing, starting with a cardboard box that the drawing supplies went in so that it could pull it to the table and draw at the kitchen table and then put everything in the box so that the...
That's where that box came from.
Yes, that's where that
box... It just materialized one day.
Right. Right. Exactly. And then buying the desk and then, logistics are a lot of what I do. And a lot of them are literally Howard runs and I figure out, well, he's going to need this. And by the time he realizes he needs this, I've got it to hand to him.
Mm-hmm.
So.
How did that start to transition into income for you guys? What were those initial sources? Was it advertising on the site? Was it paid subscribers?
It was the first book.
Yeah.
I had contracted with Steve Jackson Games for them to be the publisher and, you know, their distribution and whatever. And then we looked at the numbers and I realized I had already quit Novell at that point. And I was like, by the time this hits print, we will be out of money and I will have to go get another job. This is, you know, they were offering me royalty money, but they were saying, you know, even at, you know, a really good royalty of, you know, 10% on cover price, they were saying, you know, probably only sell 2,500 books. It's like, well, that's not enough to live off.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Jackson, bless his heart, and I've said this before, said to us, if you want to make a living off of this, you're going to have to self-publish. Talk to my partner, Monica, about some of the intricacies of self-publishing. And we self-published. And yeah, that first book sold 1,900 copies at $20 each. And they cost us like $1.80, $1.90. Yeah. And suddenly we had 6 months of money. And I remember Sandra looking at that and saying, well, can we have another book ready in 6 months?
Yeah. And that's the model we've done ever since, which is release a book, get a big pile of money, make it last until you can do the next book. Which is the core, but also built into that is as you have that big pile of money and you're making decisions about how to spend it, some of it has to go into infrastructure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Some of it goes into, you know, paying down your house or paying off your student loans or all of the things that make your understructure financially more stable.
Mm-hmm.
So that the next time Howard grabs an idea and runs with it, I already have some structure out there that I can tap rather than making it up on the fly.
Before we grab any more ideas and run with them, we need to take a break.
Hey, writers, are you thinking about learning a new language? I think exploring the world, experiencing other cultures, and being able to communicate with people outside your everyday experience lets you create richer, better stories. A great way to do that is with Rosetta Stone, a trusted expert for over 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. They use an immersive technique which leads to fast language acquisition. It's an intuitive process that helps you really learn to speak, listen, and most of all, think in the language you're trying to learn. They also feature true accent speech recognition technology that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's like having a voice coach in your home. Learn at home or on the go with a desktop and mobile app that let you download and access lessons even when you're offline. And it's an amazing value. A lifetime membership gives you access to all 25 languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, and, of course, Korean. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Writing Excuses listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I want to talk to you about something that is not a book. These are called Fluent Pet Buttons. Anyone who follows me on social media knows that I have a cat who talks. Elsie, my cat, uses buttons in a thing called augmentative interspecies communication, which is basically each button has a word on it, and she presses the buttons, and she has 104 words that she uses to communicate with me. I'm very excited about this, but the reason I'm bringing it up, partly because I think everybody with a pet should actually do this. It's fun enrichment, but also as a science fiction writer, I am having a conversation with a non-human intelligence on a daily basis. The way she parses language, the way she thinks about things is completely different than the way people do. It's fascinating, it's fun, and I have a code that you can use to get a discount. So if you want to try a journey with your pet, you can go to fluent.pet and use the code ELSIEWANT at checkout.
Welcome back. I promised I would grab an idea and run away with it. What is, for you, Sandra, was there a turning point between the scrambling every 6 months for a book and suddenly this felt stable? I don't feel like it was stable with the first couple of books.
No.
I felt very panicked.
Yeah. No, I think the stability really started feeling stable with the Challenge Coin Kickstarter in 2013.
How did you fund the first couple of books? Were those Kickstarters or were those direct to customer sales?
Direct pre-order with PayPal.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. PayPal was new.
Got it.
We're very old. PayPal was new, and the existence of PayPal let us do pre-orders.
It was April of 2006 was the the first PayPal. And there's an important financial principle here. We opened the pre-orders And within hours, I got a phone call from PayPal, and they were asking if I was making a thing called Schlock Mercenary under new management. And I said, yes, that's a real product. You can go out to the website and you can read the webcomic. And they'll say, okay, good. Just wanted to make sure, because we'd already accumulated, you know, $10,000 worth of pre-orders. But the thing that changed was this realization that credit card companies, if you take more than 30 days to deliver after you've taken payment, the credit card companies get very cross. And we were taking pre-orders, and then we'd have like a three-month delivery cycle. And PayPal, for a while, sort of accidentally underwrote that. And then
we actually,
everybody was called to account on it. And it was Kickstarter that changed it, where Kickstarter said, you can accept money and you can take a year or more to deliver the product. So,
The other things that were into play, we actually would have to front the money. A lot of times we would front the money for the printing. And because we were printing in China and our books, it takes 3 months from from printing to actually delivery, we wouldn't start the pre-order until the books got on the boat. And so there was that terrifying, we've spent a pile of money and the checking accounts are getting low. The other thing was those first two or three books, I would have to yoink, you know, we'd get pre-orders through PayPal, and then I would have to yoink the money out of PayPal as quickly as possible because PayPal would, in fact, freeze our account. It's like the annual, like, I need to, it's time to do the phone call to PayPal. And then on the shipping end, there was the regular phone calls to the credit card companies. I was using credit cards to buy the, so I would spend $7,000 on postage. And they would think that that's fraudulent because it completely, finally one of our credit cards just put a note on the account, don't freeze this. let them spend the money.
At some point they realized, we turn off their credit card and they start spending money in some other way.
I would just swap to the different card. And
You know, as someone who is coming up on 20 years in publishing, I'm deeply resisting the urge to grill you on all the logistics of all these things.
There's so many.
For me, there's a lot of fascinating stuff here, but I do feel like we should probably move on to sort of the evolution of the business of how you guys got from, you know, printing your own books initially, you know, doing this. Where's the business at now? You know, it's been 2006 to almost 20 years for you guys as well. How has that evolved to what the business looks like today, now that you're reaching sort of the end of the publication cycle here?
The core business remains the same. We run a crowdfunding or pre-order and pile of money and pile of books. And then, you know, we buy the books 5,000 at a time and slowly sell them. I have a physical warehouse that I pay rent on. And it is full of tens of thousands of books. It's not a very, I mean, that sounds very big in your head. It's small for a warehouse, but that giant stacks of paper, we can continue selling those for years. And that is actually one of the reasons that we are profitable is because, you know, we can buy them 5,000 and backlist. And we've had to reprint books 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5 because we ran out and we had to reprint them.
It's a good problem to have.
It's a good problem to have.
Well, sucks at the time, but
but the other thing that I'm juggling right now is as we're doing books, you know, 18, 19, 20, we're finishing out the way we began. But then once everything is in print, that opens the possibility for collector's editions and and collected sets eventually. We won't do that until I've sold through the inventory that's sitting in my warehouse because I do not want to end up with thousands of dollars of inventory that are tens of thousands of dollars of inventory.
Box sets can be very good, though.
They can be. And that's one of the possible future things that we potentially could do.
One of the smartest things that we did, there were two things that were really kind of brilliant. And one was making the last page blank so that I could sketch in a book. And we charged an extra $10 for that at first. Now it's an extra
20.
Now it's an extra 20. And
I think might be 25.
I'm no longer in charge of that. I stopped asking how much it's worth. I can do those sketches in less than 2 minutes each. And people understand they are not getting a commission. They are getting essentially a very fancy signature that personalizes their book. You sell 1,000 sketch editions. That's $20,000 of extra money. That was super useful to have, especially early on. Mm-hmm. And the second really good decision we made was slipcases for the sets of books, because at a convention, having a slipcase for books 1 through 5 and offering a $10 discount when you buy them this way removes decision paralysis from people who are looking at this huge raft of books. And they're like, oh, I can just buy this thing. Oh, that's heavy. That's a giant brick of whatever. Yes, it's heavy and it's only $95 or whatever. And
can you define slipcase for the audience?
Oh, sorry. Slipcase. It's essentially a cardboard box that's open on one end. Mm-hmm. A very heavy, shiny, you know, attractive cardboard box that exactly fits the books. So they slip in and out.
Yeah, like a box set. Mm-hmm. The question of what comes next is imminent in our brains kind of constantly right now, because the answer is, until we get these last three books out, what comes next is those three books.
Yeah.
Mm. And that gives me three more piles of money with which I can build infrastructure and plans and hopefully some runway on other projects. You know, Howard has got some prose novels that are in the Schlockiverse that he is working towards. I have got a book that I'm working on, and we are building trying to build income streams that don't depend on Howard's being the pinch
that don't involve that don't involve me needing to spend quite as much time as I used to be able to spend.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In 2017, I was able to do a weekly comic, a daily comic with no days while drawing over the course of 6 weeks, 250 cards for Steve Jackson Games, Starfinder, Munchkin Starfinder. Mm-hmm. And I was literally working from 6 a.m. to midnight every day and loving it, because my job involves, you know, sitting and drawing and just, I cannot physically do that anymore. Yeah. Long COVID has stolen at least 8 of those 14 hours from me. And it used to be that, you know, we'd look at a project like this. Yeah, these last three books, and while we're doing covers and marginalia and whatever, I'm also going to be working on a new thing.
Right. And Howard is one track. He used to be multi-track, and now he is one track. And which, you know, I could delve into 20 or 30 minutes just talking about my own career positioning that I am attempting to do. The infrastructure I'm building for me to support more of the income generation work. Mm-hmm. But that would be an entire separate discussion. An interesting one, I think bringing it back, you know, it's this pivot point that I think every creative ends up in at some point, where you've either finished a large project, or your publisher dropped you, or life changed, or whatever, where you suddenly had a way you were going, and you had a momentum, and suddenly you have to left turn, which requires the brakes, and everything shifts in the vehicle, and you have to figure out what comes next. Which is one of the huge reasons for when you have that pile of money building the infrastructure, so that when you hit that hard left turn, there's an, you know, mm-hmm. metaphor falls
apart.
You
don't go buy a midlife crisis car.
Right.
You,
right. Yeah. And
yeah.
Yeah. And that is where we are. And yes, when I look beyond the next three books, there's giant question marks out there. However, that's very familiar because pulling all the way back to the very beginning in 2004 when Howard quit Novell, we'd made negative $600 on cartooning that year, and he quit his comfortable corporate job to be a cartoonist. And so while it's tiring to be back
negative,
at that point.
Negative three figures.
Yeah. It's negative $300.
Negative 600. It was six, you're $600. Old. I thought you said negative six figures.
Yeah.
Negative $600.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Versus a six-figure income at Novell.
Right.
Yes. Right. Yes. Yes.
That was.
Yeah, he had just cracked six figures.
The delta was negative six figures.
There's a reason that came in your head.
It was a delta.
It was very terrifying. Oh, and four young children.
Yeah.
And a house. We did not yet have a cat, but
that's the difference.
I mean. Yeah, there you go. And so in one way, the future is terrifying. In another way, it is full of opportunity.
Exactly. Mm.
And in another way, it is familiar.
Yeah.
And so learning how to be comfortable with the uncertainty of it all.
Exactly.
And to focus on, I do a lot of this. I get to put out the next schlock book. I get to, right now, I'm in the middle of drafting my nonfiction book, and I get to do that. And then I'm going to get to send it through a writer's group. And I'm going to get to, there's another novel I'm going to write, and I'm going to get to submit it to
agents.
There
are so many parts of this that we love so much.
When you focus on the fact that you get to do the piece that's in front of you, and mm-hmm. once it's done, it is safely in the past, and you will always have gotten to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. No matter what happens to the project in the future, you got to do that piece, and you
there
get
is
to keep
a huge
it.
Difference between the quality of life of, you know, uncertainty about layoffs, uncertainty about what your boss is going to assign you to, and the quality of life of I'm doing something I love, but I don't know where the paychecks are going to come from 18 months from now. Mm-hmm. There is a huge difference there. Uncertainty in both cases, but I'm just full of gratitude to be on this path. Mm-hmm. And I'm reminded of something that Phil Folio said, private forum of professional cartoonists, where we were having this exact conversation. Someone was ending a project and other people were like, why? How can you even? And Phil Folio said, hey, guys, every one of us here has created something whose pictures and story are paying our bills. You did it once. You can just do it again, which is very Phil Folio for ignore the fact that I got lucky, ignore the fact that opportunity. No, I did this one time. I can find a way to do it again. And I love channeling that level of manic optimism.
It's sort of required because if you spend too long looking at the ways that this could go wrong, you'll never get anything done, right? There's a little bit of a mental state you have to put yourself in that has that incredible optimism and confidence in your work. You also need to be realistic. You also need to be planning for when things don't go well. And so you can make that hard turn when you need to.
Right.
But to put your work out in the world and ask people for money for it, to focus on a creative work in a business world, it requires a little bit of exactly what you're talking about of I've done it. I can do it. I believe this is going to work.
When I was talking about building that infrastructure, and you were talking about, you know, being smart about money, one of the pieces of infrastructure that we have in place that's invisible is I have a highly employable skill set that I am mm-hmm. not afraid to use and go get a corporate job with benefits if that is what our family needs in order to keep the roof over the head, because I love the creative career, but also I like eating and I like my house. So, and so that is that when I talk about infrastructure, that's some of it. You know, I have been building job skills the whole way across, and I am very employable right now. Economy is a different issue, but you know, but that is a piece of the be smart while being joyful and creative. Mm-hmm. you know, what is your fallback? What is your safety?
Yeah, we could, we could talk about the business angles of this for hours and hours and hours. And I think, Sandra, what we ought to do is send people to your Patreon, patreon.com/Sandra Taylor, spell Taylor with an E-R, the creative community tier. You talk about these things all the time. You've got creative check-ins and business discussions.
Many of my recorded classes go up there. I have started a once a month, people can vote on what you would like me to write a thing about. And I'm happy to host meet and greets and Q&As and things like that, because there's a lot to unpack here.
There's so much involved in turning the wondrous worlds we come up with into money. And I think that's where our homework is.
So our homework this week is I want you to start thinking a little bit like Sandra. I want you to make a plan for how to monetize one aspect of your work. This could be submitting a short story for publication, figuring out how you're going to send out your novel, designing a paid newsletter or Patreon. It doesn't have to be something you do today or tomorrow, but start thinking and making a plan about what you can be doing to make this creative work that you're doing part of your future income.
But wait, there's more. And what it is that this is the conclusion of our Howard deep dive, which wish we could deep dive even deeper, but we're moving on to my deep dive next, which will be about three short stories that I've written. So I'm letting you know now so that you can read them. We will put the links to them in the liner notes, but they are the story Wolfy Things, which was originally published in Podcastle, Sour Milk Girls, which was published in Clark's World, and Snake Season, which was published in The Dark. All of them have audio versions in addition to print versions and are available for free online. I also want to note, I tend to write things that are on the darker side. Wolfy Things involves wolves and violence in it. So if you don't like violence and wolves being combined, may not be for you. Snake Season deals with child death. And so that also may not be for you. And if it's not, you can listen in anyway. We'll be talking about sort of what's going on beneath the surface in the craft. So even if you don't have, that's not the thing that you want to be reading or listening to, please come back as we talk about it and dive deeply into it starting next week.
This has been Writing Excuses. You're out of excuses. Now go write.
Please rate and review us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or your podcast platform of choice. Your ratings help other writers discover us for the first time.
Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. For this episode, your hosts were Mary Robinette Kowal, Dong Wan Song, Aaron Roberts, and Howard Taylor. This episode was engineered by Marshall Carr Jr., mastered by Alex Jackson, and produced by Emma Reynolds. For more information, visit writingexcuses.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.